Now we're going to read from the Old Testament, page 785 in the Bibles, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets that prophesied in the 8th century before Christ. And much of his prophecy was about judgment. And in these chapters 47 to 50, you have judgments on the different nations that surrounded Israel. And chapter 50 of Jeremiah is dealing with the judgment on Babylon and Babylonia. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim and do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. Now you have to remember that Babylon was a great and powerful nation. Babylon was a nation that was conquering everybody. And here the prophecy comes that this great power is going to be broken. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces towards it, saying, come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, we have not offended, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Move from the midst of Babylon. Get out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be like the rams before the flocks. For behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall array themselves against her. For there she shall be captured. Their arrows shall be like those of an expert warrior. None shall return in vain, and Chaldea shall become plunder, and all who plunder her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. And we finish our reading at the end of that 10th verse. Luke chapter 15. That's on page 1015. 1015. Luke 15. This is probably one of the most familiar passages that we have in the New Testament. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And we finish our reading at the end of that 10th verse, and we trust that God will give us understanding of his infallible and inerrant word. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the middle of his ministry, teaching, preaching, healing, and so on. And we read at the beginning of this chapter 15 of Luke, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him." Now, this is an amazing statement. The tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. It's as if we said we had a service in Derry and all the drunkards and the prostitutes and the down and outs came to hear. Now, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? We would think, that's astonishing. And it was the same for them, because the tax collectors were collaborators. As well as being collaborators with the Romans, they were thieves. Because the Romans set a certain tariff. They said to the tax collector, "You've got to collect so much tax." So the tax collector added 20-25% onto that, so he got his fee as well. So the tax collectors were generally looked on not only as being collaborators with Rome, but they were looked on as being thieves as well. So they weren't exactly popular folk. And the sinners, now you can look at sinners in two ways. Sinners for some of the Pharisees and the scribes were simply people who weren't very religious. They could have been sort of decent people, but they weren't very religious. They didn't keep all the laws. Or you can see the sinners as being people like the harlots and like the people who had no time for religion at all. But whatever, they were not the most popular sort of people. They were the outcasts really from the religious society. And we see that from the reaction of the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see, they would never, ever do that. They would never, ever do that. Because if they associated with these kind of people, they made themselves unclean. And they made themselves ceremonially unclean. And so they wouldn't do that. And we have to remember that the scribes and the Pharisees were good people. We sometimes think of the scribes and Pharisees as being kind of rotten people. They weren't. They were good religious people. They did everything that the law required of them. They were meticulous in their observance of the scriptures. We read on one occasion that Jesus talked about the Pharisees who gave tithes, not only of their goods, their money, but they gave tithes of the herbs that they used. Can you imagine? A tenth part of your coming and your time and all these other things. And they were so meticulous that they did that. So they were good, in inverted commas, they were good people. But they couldn't understand Jesus mixing with these people who were, in their eyes, the dregs of society. And so Jesus tells them parables. And here we have three parables. We didn't read the third one, the parable of the lost son. But he tells them parables. Now a parable is just a story with a meaning. And so he tells them these stories. And Jesus ends his parables with words that may seem somewhat strange. And it's these words I want us to focus our attention on this morning. Verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And we're going to look at a couple of very simple things. First of all, the righteous lost. The righteous lost. You see, when Jesus spoke of those who do not need repentance, that's what he says, isn't it? He says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Well, who are these just people who do not need to repent? Who is he talking about? Now, we need to be clear about this. He was not speaking about people who were Christian, people who were faithful in their daily walk with Christ. He was not speaking of those who had made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, who were his disciples. He wasn't speaking of those, because even those who are believers, even those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, need to repent, and they need to repent daily, because they sin daily. So their disciples are not those who don't need repentance. Neither was he speaking of the angels, who are righteous and do not need to repent, because they have no sin to repent of. He's rather speaking of those like the scribes and the Pharisees who considered that they were so righteous that they did not need to repent. He is speaking about those who considered themselves to be righteous in themselves, that they had no need of Christ and they had no need to repent. Jesus told a story of two people who went up to the temple to pray. And he said, one was a tax collector, a sinner, the other was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee, and the words that are used in the scripture are very telling indeed. It said that the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. That's what he was doing, praying with himself, although he thought he was praying to God. And it said he stood and he lifted up his hands and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I'm not like these sinners. Look what I do. I give tithes, I pray, I fast, I do all these things. I thank you, I'm not like other men. And he catches a glimpse of this sinner. And he says, I thank you especially, I'm not like him. I thank you, I'm not like him. I'm good, I'm righteous, I don't need to repent. And it was these kind of people that Jesus was speaking about who need no repentance. And if you think about it, what's he talking about? He's talking about religious people. He's talking about people who go to church. In our terms, he's talking about people who perhaps read their Bibles. He's talking about people who, to other people, to their neighbours, to those that they work with, are, in terms that people use here, good living. They're good living people. They don't do bad things. They're helpful to their neighbours. They're kind and they're generous and they're religious. And yet, they see no need to repent. They see no need to come to Christ. They see no need for repentance because they don't really see themselves as sinners. And how many people in churches up and down our land today are exactly in that position? They are righteous. They are religious. They are good people, like the Pharisees. There will be very few people in this country who would be as religious as the Pharisees. And yet, the Pharisees were the righteous lost, because they were lost. They were without God, and they were without hope in the world, because they turned away from Christ, because they would not listen to Jesus. It was the sinners who listened to Jesus. The Pharisees, if they did listen to Jesus, they listened to him to criticize him. They listened to him to find fault with him. They listened to him to find some way of attacking him. And you know what Jesus called them? He called them whited sepulchres. Now, perhaps that image doesn't convey that much to us. But if you lived in a land like the Middle East, or even where we lived for so many years in South America, the bones of dead people were put into little sepulchres and they were painted white because it was hot and sunny and the sun reflected off the white. And so you would see these white sepulchres. Sometimes they were alongside the road. Sometimes they were in sort of graveyards. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you know what? You're like these whited sepulchres. They look lovely on the outside. They look lovely and white and clean on the outside. But he said, inside, they're full of rottenness and dead men's bones. Inside, they're full of rottenness and dead men's bones. And Jesus says to us today that the righteous lost are just like that. Outside, they're clean. Outside, they're white. Outside, they seem to be okay. But inside, they're full of rottenness and dead men's bones because they do not have Christ. The righteous lost. And you know, we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we can be religious and still lost. We need to be aware that we can be upright and still lost. We need to be aware that we can receive all the praise of people for our goodness and still be lost. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. They need no repentance because they don't see themselves as sinners. They don't believe they need to repent. They don't think they have anything to repent of. The righteous lost. But then secondly, we have here the unrighteous lost. The unrighteous lost. Those who were so despised by the religious people around them were precisely those who were sought out by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to the outcast, the sinner, the prostitute, those who knew that in the eyes of the religious establishment, and indeed of most other people, they were not righteous in the slightest. Nobody would have thought that the tax collectors were righteous. They were scoundrels. That's what people thought of them. But you remember when Jesus was walking along the road, there was a little man who wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed up in a tree. And Jesus stopped underneath the tree. And he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat at your house today." Now, to us, that doesn't seem like any great thing, does it? It doesn't seem like any... Indeed, it seems like a bit of an imposition to simply say to somebody you've never met before, I'm coming to have dinner at your house today. But to the people that were there, it was a staggering statement, because this man was a tax collector. This man was one of the outcasts. But all the people that were round about, people who would have gladly welcomed Jesus into their home, he stops underneath the tree where this man was and he says, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today." And Jesus sought out those who were cast out of society by everyone else. Because they were not taken up with their own righteousness, they would listen to the words of Christ. You see, one of the most important things that people have to recognize is that they have to recognize their own sin. They have to recognize that they are sinners. Why is it that people don't listen to the gospel? Why is it that people simply shrug their shoulders? If we were to stand in the diamond and proclaim Christ, what would happen? Well, most people would cross on the other side of the street. People would shrug their shoulders and say, "These lunatics, listen to them." Religion has no interest for me. Why? If I was to stand in the diamond with a huge packet of £100 notes and say, here, anybody want one? They're genuine. Here, take one. Would they do it? Well, I guess some would. And yet, we stand and we offer to them eternal life. We offer to them salvation from sin. We offer to them the greatest gift that a human being can possess. And why do they not jump at it? Why do they turn their back on it? Because they have no need. You see, they have a need for £100. £100 will buy them all sorts of things. And they know that they need it. But they don't know that they need Christ, because they are not aware of their own sin. And I think one of the problems of evangelical preaching in more recent times has been that we do not preach sin. We do not preach that men and women are sinners. We offer them something that will make them feel good. We offer them peace. We offer them a solution to their problems. And there's no doubt that Christ brings that. But they will not come to Christ until they know their need. That's what Jesus said. There are those who do not need repentance. At least they feel they don't need repentance because they don't feel their need. But you see, these sinners and these tax collectors, these harlots, they knew. They knew that they were sinners. They knew that they had broken God's law. They knew that the wrath of God was upon them. And so when Jesus came and he offered them salvation, they listened to him. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his house. He loved to have him. Matthew, the tax collector, left all his wealth where it was and followed Jesus. Nobody else wanted him. But Jesus called him. You see, when we know that we are lost in darkness and sin, then we will seek the Saviour. But we need to be aware of this. The unrighteous are no more lost than the righteous. The righteous lost and the unrighteous lost. They are both lost. They are both bound for eternal damnation. That is the reality. It would be a shock, wouldn't it, for some of the righteous people to think that they're in exactly the same category as the person they see rolling about drunk in the streets. They're in exactly the same position. They're lost, without God, without hope in this world. The third thing we see here is the seeker of the lost. You have in the two parables that Jesus told, the man had sheep and he lost one, and so he went to seek the one that was lost. The woman who had her silver coins, she lost one, and she diligently sought until she found it. Now here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who seeks and saves that which was lost. And the illustration of the lost sheep is very telling. Think about it. This sheep was lost. There are three things that we can say about this sheep. First of all, it was lost. Well, obviously it was a lost sheep. The sheep was lost. What does that tell us? It tells us it didn't know where it was going. It was without direction, without a goal. It didn't know where to find food, didn't know where to find shelter. It was simply lost. And when we think about people, people in this city, that's their problem. They're lost. They have no direction. They have no goal. They don't know where they're going. They wander from here to there, and they do not know where they're going. Or they don't think that. They think they have a goal set out for their life. But they are lost. Spiritually, they are lost. Does it not amaze you when you think of some of the foolish things spiritually that people do? Why are so many young people taken up with the occult and engaged in ridiculous, ludicrous things? Because they're seeking direction. And they don't have direction. And so when somebody comes and offers them something, then they're willing to try it. Why are so many young people involved in drug taking? Is drug taking pleasant? No, it's not. It might be pleasant at the moment, but the craving that people get afterwards, and when they see their lives deteriorating, degenerating, and yet they continue. They're lost. But not only was the sheep lost, it was also helpless. The sheep could not rescue itself. It was at the mercy of wolves. It was at the mercy of the elements. It was at the mercy of whatever. It was helpless to save itself. And that's the truth with men and women today. They cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves out of their condition of sin. There's nothing that they can do. We sang in the psalm that a person cannot redeem their own soul, not with money, not with anything else. They are helpless to save themselves. When you look at people here in this city, you see people who apparently are successful and wealthy and enjoying themselves. You should see them as being lost and helpless. Helpless. There's nothing they can do to rescue themselves. And this lost sheep was in danger. Was in danger of wild animals. There were wolves. There were lions. There were all sorts of animals that could cause them harm. And there was no shepherd to protect them. They were in desperate danger. This sheep was in desperate danger. And so are these lost sheep. The righteous lost and the unrighteous lost. They're in danger. They're in great danger. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then you too are lost, helpless, in danger. Great danger. You see, the scripture is very clear that it is only in this life that there is an opportunity for repentance. Only in this life. When this life ends, there's no further hope. You know, I was thinking the other day, a man in London was walking to work. I don't know what he was thinking about. He was walking to work. No one particularly important. No one particularly significant, except perhaps to his family. Not with a very important job in worldly terms. He was walking to work, and suddenly a helicopter fell from the sky and he was burned to death. Now, when he left home, I'm sure he wasn't thinking that he wouldn't be home again. I'm sure he wasn't thinking that that day was the day he was going to die. And he had no time to think. Even if he had been aware of the gospel, and we don't know whether he was or not, but even if he'd been aware of the gospel, he would have had no time to repent. And that's the kind of life that we live. We are one breath away from death. And that's the reality. I'm not being morbid. It's simply the way life is. And we are in danger. Because when death comes, it is either absent from the body and present with the Lord, or it is suffering the wrath of an angry God. So like the lost sheep, we are lost, helpless, in danger. And unless the shepherd had found the sheep, then there would be no hope. This poor little lost sheep would have remained lost and would have died had the shepherd not gone and sought it and found it. And that is the good news. That is the gospel. You see, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And every one of us in here this morning, all of us, are or were lost. None of us are any different from anyone else. Whatever family background we have, however we were brought up, we were all lost. We were all going astray. But for some, I don't know how many, perhaps all, but for some, they have been found by the shepherd. They have been found by the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been brought to repentance. They have been brought to see their sin. Now, I suppose this lost sheep, when it saw the shepherd, it could have run away and refused to come. I don't know. I suppose that's possible. And I suppose there are those who are lost, who hear the gospel, who hear the offer of salvation, and yet run away. Run away and refuse to be found by the shepherd. Jesus came, the scripture says, to seek and to save that which was lost. The last thing we have in this verse is the rejoicing over the lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Isn't it fantastic that when somebody comes to Christ, whether they come to Christ in their own bedroom, whether they come to Christ walking along the road, whether they come to Christ in a meeting or whatever, that at that moment there is rejoicing in heaven. Just think, rejoicing in heaven over me? Rejoicing in heaven over someone as insignificant as I am? And yet that's what Jesus said. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. And of course there is rejoicing by Christ himself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And just as the shepherd rejoiced when he found the sheep, when the woman rejoiced when she found her coin, so Jesus rejoices when one of those for whom he died comes to faith. So whenever we see somebody coming to faith in Christ, just think that Jesus himself is rejoicing. Jesus himself is seeing the fruit of his work and is glad. There's rejoicing by the angels in heaven who see the work of Christ being fulfilled. And of course, we, as the people of God, must rejoice whenever we see sinners come to faith in Christ. Surely one of the things that we desire to see as a fellowship, as a congregation, as a church, we long to see people come to faith in Christ. That's why we're here. We're here to proclaim the gospel of free and sovereign grace. We're here to proclaim the gospel that brings sinners to Christ. And so there should be great rejoicing over those who come to faith. Perhaps we don't rejoice enough. Perhaps we're not ecstatic enough when someone comes to faith in Christ. When you think that Jesus came to seek and to save, and he rejoices, and the angels in heaven rejoice, surely we should rejoice over those who come to faith. The righteous lost. How sad to be righteous and yet to be lost. How sad it is for someone to go from the very gate of heaven to hell. How sad for someone who worships God, who sings praise to God, who hears the reading of the scripture, who hears the message that comes from God. How sad for such a person to be lost. We can understand perhaps someone who has no time for God, no time for religion, no time for the gospel. We can perhaps understand that. But how sad to be righteous and yet lost. And yet Jesus said there are those who are righteous but lost, as well as the unrighteous and lost. But we thank God that there is one who came to seek and to save the righteous and the unrighteous, lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the glorious gospel that we have to proclaim. And I suppose the question that we all have to answer today is quite simply this. Are you among the lost? Righteous or unrighteous? Or have you been found by the seeking shepherd Saviour? Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we pray that you would take what has been of yourself and apply it by your Spirit to our hearts. May there be amongst us none who remain lost. O Lord God, if there are those who are without God and without hope in this world, be pleased, O Lord God, to seek them out this day that they might be found. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalm is Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37. We sing from verses 28 to 31. The tune St. Agnes 136. Mark well the blameless, watch and see the man of uprightness, because that surely of this man the latter end is peace. But those who are transgressors will together be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off and made void. But the salvation of the just is from the Lord alone. And when a time of trouble comes, his strength by them is known. The Lord will help and rescue them. He will deliver them from wicked men and will them save because they trust in him. We sing these verses 28 to 31, and the tune is 136.
But the salvation of the just is from the Lord alone. And when a time of trouble comes, his strength them is known. The Lord will help and rescue them. He will deliver them from wicked men and will them save because they trust in him.
Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you, now and forever. Amen.